Oh, this is better. Isn't it? Aye. I mean, just thinking about starting to preach the word and be able to look at everybody. Oh, you're a bit blurry. Because I need the specs off so I could read this. Yeah, I need to be delivered of that and healed. But who's that waving? Is that Pauline?
It's so nice to be here.
It is great to be here, Pauline, isn't it? It is great. So much better to just think about, I'm going to be preaching the word to people. Now, I know you've been listening for 6, 7, 8 months. Bless you. But when I sit down on a Sunday morning, you know, I've been doing it for 6, 7, 8 months, but every week it just felt so weird. You know, I'd shut the study door and I'd be sitting, trying to look, concentrate on the camera a little bit and stare at it and think I'm preaching to you guys. It's just not been the same. But hallelujah, we are here and we're ready to preach the word. Amen. Father, I thank you for this place. Thank you that we are here. Thank you that for our worship there. Thank you that we are now about to delve into your word. Thank you for the truth of your scriptures, Father. Thank you that they are literally breathed of you, written by men, but inspired and breathed of you. Thank you that they are the truth. Thank you that they are perfect. They are the incorruptible seed. Thank you that we're about to scatter these seeds on our hearts, onto the ground of our hearts. Pray for good ground. But in accordance with scripture, I pray for understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds we're about to plant won't be stolen. Understanding so that these seeds will grow. Understanding so that these seeds will produce the fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just as I was praying there, I just had a picture of our kitchen windowsill. And at the moment, Val has got an avocado stone sitting in water. Have you ever seen how you do that? You stick toothpicks in it and then stick it in the water. And there was two of them. And one of them rotted and went all mouldy and didn't do anything. So we threw it out. But the other one has now got roots like that long. We've got a big glass that's swirling around at the bottom. It's multiple roots. And the shoot must be, what, that big? And there are leaves coming at the top. Now that seed grew. The other one didn't. But if we plant these seeds into our hearts and we understand that every single one of them will grow because they're incorruptible. They're perfect. They won't go moldy. But it's down to us, guys. It's the condition of our heart that determines whether that seed will grow. And we need to understand it so it's not stolen by the enemy, that we see that in the parable of the sower. Amen. So that was a nice wee picture. I don't often get pictures. Maybe it was just my imagination, but there you go. I'm going to say it was from the Lord. Hallelujah. I found getting ready for this message quite difficult. You know me, I like to preach in series. And I'm just finished a wee series in Joshua. Probably looking to start a Christmas series. We were talking about that in the car. I said, you know, I'm probably going to ask other people maybe to do a message or two this year. Because if I just do a Christmas series, it'll be On Earth Peace, it'll be Shepherds, it'll be McGlodare. But I'm really excited about it. And amen. You know, talking about the shepherds knowing a sacrificial lamb when they saw one, that's my line. And so I was kind of thinking, just finished one series, going to be starting another one. It's a bit too early for Christmas, but I've got loads on my heart that I want to teach on, what to preach on. I've got so much I wanted to talk about. I wasn't sure where to go this week. But just sitting there pondering and thinking. And it's been a really interesting month. Interesting, difficult, whatever you want to say, it's just passed. I've had issues that I've been working through. Been finding things a little bit difficult. Not been myself, you could say. Had some difficulties in work and other areas I had to overcome. And I've been finding things tricky for myself and tricky for other people, trying to find solutions and put them in place. Been working through how to move church back here, away from online, and what do we keep doing online? There's been lots of decisions. It's been a little bit difficult. It's not been easy. But it's been really interesting in that while I've been going through that, right in the midst of that, we start looking at Caris Healing University about mental health and emotional and relational health. That's been the two lessons we've done last Thursday and the Thursday before. So right in the midst of these difficult times, you know, I'm not saying the Lord orchestrated, but there are things working that pulls things together. And the teaching that we've been entitled Mental Health and Emotional and Relational Health. So I've been felt led to preach on mental health, emotional health. Use do inverted commas. I'm not kind of sure what I mean there. That kind of topic, but it's such a wide area, such a vast area. Kind of difficult to know where to start. But there's been one verse that has been shouting at me this last month or so. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Hallelujah. And I'm standing up in front of you as your pastor this morning saying, I'm using Nancy's phone for the word because I forgot my Bible this morning. You know, I was rushing around saying to Nancy, I've got my message, I've got my phone, I've got the mic, I've got communion, yeah, we've got the disinfectant, yeah, we've got this, the hand sanitizer, we've got all that, I've got the music, yeah, I've got the word sheet, yeah. Never took my Bible. But bless the Lord for technology, yeah. Isaiah 26, 3 and, I'll probably read verse 4 and now. But Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I was walking along Findon Beach. I was trying to think when it was, maybe a fortnight ago, a week and a half ago, maybe last Sunday, I can't remember, after church. And I was meditating on that verse. And I'd obviously been quiet. Because then I get strange, yes, Evelyn. Because then I get the comment from Nunzi, you're quiet, what are you thinking about? And yeah, I do kind of go off on a quiet one every now and again, and Nunzi knows I'm thinking about something. And I said, well, I think I've just had a revelation. And it's about those verses. But it was a revelation of what I had revealed in this revelation I already knew. You know, you might think that's kind of quite strange for me to say, but listen to me out. I had something revealed in a revelation that I knew. But, you know, have you guys ever had a verse or a passage of scripture or a biblical principle that you knew? You remember it. You can quote it. You talk about it. You've preached about it. But then there's this one time when it suddenly impacts you. And you get it, you know it on a deeper and deeper and more personal level, a deeper understanding and a deeper knowing of its importance that just explodes on the inside. And you know that you know that you know that that's the truth. But more importantly, and what I had on that walk on the beach was knowing that that is going to have an impact on your life. Because there's knowing and there's knowing. We know that. We could look at the Greek. I'm not going to get into that. But you know that. There's a way of knowing something. It's not as deep as knowing something. And I said to Nunzi, you know what? I've just realised I've not been at peace because my mind is not focused and stayed on the Lord. It has to be. That can be the only reason. It has to be because it says so in the Word. And that needs to be our spirit level, our arbiter of truth, the Word. It says it in there, therefore this it must be. And I knew it was the truth. And I said, and it must be a truth issue. It must be a trust issue as well. In some area of my life, it must be a trust issue. Because that's what the Word says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why is your mind stayed on him? Because he trusteth in thee. And yeah, the way the Lord just brings everything together. I've been preaching on that in Joshua. Joshua and Caleb. Trusting in the Lord and focusing on him and not what they saw. Now you could be sitting there and saying, oh, Vic, that's obvious. You know, we are Ken, Isaiah 26:3. It's obvious. Yes, it is. I know it is. I know that. I know it's obvious. And you could say, Vic, but you've preached on this before. I say, yeah, that's true as well. I know that. But on the beach that day, that verse just got deep, deep into my understanding, into my heart. Into what I, how could I say that? Into my core belief system. And I've spoken about that before. We need to have that core belief system. It's absolutely based on Scripture. And it made me realise there is a way out of this lack of peace, this anxiety, potential stress, fear. There is a way out of that. And dare I say, a way out into good, positive mental health. And it's Isaiah 26:3. Now, I know this is a much bigger issue than I can cover in one message. I don't know if I'm going to start do more on it next week or if I'm going to start on shepherds and stars and be it unto me as thy word and sacrificial lambs. I don't know if I'm going to, what I'm going to do next week, but I might do it. But there's so much more than I can cover in this one message. I'm just scratching the surface. But what I'm going to talk about this morning, really, on a real surface level, is to quote something that we hear a lot about, a way to promote or improve your mental health. And I stand up here saying, firmly believing, I don't think there is one of us that is immune to poor mental health. I don't think there is any of us in this building or out there or listening online or whatever who is immune to getting a bit of fear, a bit of anxiety, a bit of stress, a lack of peace. If you're, but you know, I may be wrong, but if you're sitting there in 100% peace, no anxiety, no fear, no stress, no worries, no issues, no problems, no nothings, please speak to me at the end and tell me how on earth you're managing to do it. Because I would love to have that revelation. Because no one, I think, is immune to having issues in their thought life, which is what I'm coming to, which can lead to issues. So let's go back. Really look at this verse. Thou wilt keep him, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let's just check the Hebrew, just because the English to me is pretty easy to understand. Now it's like Andrew says, you need to get somebody to help you misunderstand this verse. You know, if you trust him, if you keep your mind on him, you're going to be in peace. Here endeth the lesson for today. Looking at the English, how else can you interpret that? There's nothing. No way. So maybe it's different in the Hebrew. Yeah, because we do know that sometimes there's different words. But the Hebrew word for mind is the word yetzer. Don't know if I said that right, doesn't matter. It means things framed, imagination, mind, work. Clearly, this is talking about what's going on inside your head. What you're thinking on, what you're focusing on, what you're framing in your mind. That's what that means. Stayed is the Hebrew word somach, means establish, hold, lie hard, rest, Rest yourself. Stand fast. Stay. Sustain. It means sticking to something. It means staying on something. It means not taking your eye off the ball on whatever thing it is. Your mind's on that thing all the time. You're looking at it and nothing else. Single-minded, you could say. We know it's not good to be double-minded. I just suddenly remembered that verse. God, I should remember that and had it in a message. Single-minded. Kind of what that means. Not hard to understand this verse. The Hebrew doesn't change the understanding, the interpretation. It's saying, if what you're thinking on, if what you are focusing on is always the Lord, fixed on Him, stayed on Him, and not wandering, you will have peace. Actually, that's not what it says. It says, perfect peace. Fantastic. Not only just, we have a route to peace, we have a route to perfect peace. And that's fantastic. Thinking on Him, focusing on Him, always fixed on Him, stayed on Him, you will be in perfect peace. But of course, the converse is true. You know me, I love to take an equation and turn it round. Good bit of maths. Turn it round. The converse is true. I've got this as a you, but I'll do it as a we. If we are not in peace, our mind, our thoughts, our focus must be on someone, something, or somewhere else other than the Lord. Has to be. Because the word says if your mind is stayed on Him, you will be in perfect peace. Ergo, if we're not in perfect peace, our mind is not stayed on Him. I'll write an equation for it for you, Carol. I actually think I did an equation on Isaiah 26:3, didn't I? I knew I'd preached on this before. I'll have to find that. Yeah, because I printed out cards, didn't I, with the equation on it, or I had it on the screen. See, guys, this is why my sermons online are 30 minutes. Because you take me off down rabbit trails. You're back. I have to say, I am really enjoying this. Amen. Where was I? The converse is true. If we are not in peace, our mind, our thoughts, our focus must be on someone, something, or somewhere else, and not stayed on the Lord. Simple. You need to help get somebody to help you misunderstand this, as I've said before. Even in the English, but I've just given you the Hebrew. There's no way out here, guys. There's no cop-out. There's no other way to interpret this verse. And I was thinking, well, what does that tie in with thought life, mental health, or whatever? And then I was kind of thinking about my own situation. And I haven't got scriptures. I have got a scripture, but it doesn't exactly tie in. Well, you can tell me if it does or not. But I think the potential to experience poor mental health is when our mind is focused on self. On self. Phew, thankfully I got a few nodding heads there. That's okay. Because I know Nancy's sitting there because I've heard her when other people are preaching, where's the scripture? Where's the scripture? Where's the scripture? I'm coming to that, darling. But when we're thinking of self, I think that's when we can go down the slippery path of potential towards wrong thinking and poor mental health, bad emotional health. What's my purpose? What is my worth? How good am I? What's the point of me? That's the biggie. What's the point? And if we're doing that in self, or for self, and about self, that could lead to confusion, doubt, self-loathing, and leads to death in terms of lost blessings. And you know what? Unfortunately, for young men, and men, not for ladies as well, but unfortunately in our society, for young men, that kind of thinking leads to physical death as well. Something we need to really think about. And why does it do that? Because the word tells us It does that. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and what?
Peace.
Peace. Thinking about self is carnal. It's fleshly, it's carnal, it's worldly. And the word says, at least, I was going to hold up my Bible and say, do we believe this? I'm holding up Nunzi's phone. Do we believe this?
Yes.
Thank you, Sean. I had a few nods, yeah. You got one as well. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we're thinking about self, that's carnal, leads to death. Death as in loss of blessings, but death as in death. But Vic, I thought we should be, you know, looking for our purpose and looking for our worth, for example. That's what psychologists tell us. And I would agree if we look in the right place for those things. And the right place to look for those things is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in the things of God the Father. Or the things of the Lord. What purpose do you have for me, Lord? What is your plan and purposes for my life? Put him first. What is my true identity in Christ? What do I have through Christ? What can I do through Christ? Those are all perfect questions to ask and answer. And I was looking at them this morning, thinking about going forward. I'm thinking, they're great questions, Vic. I'm going to really study that out and I'm going to answer those for me. What purpose do you have for me, Lord? Because that's something we all come. What's my point? What's the point? What's my purpose? Well, don't ask that. What's your purpose for me, Lord? Think spiritually, not carnally. Great questions. With your mind stayed on him. And with your mind stayed on him, focusing on him, you are thinking spiritually. And what does that lead to? Life and peace. Awesome. The Bible's very consistent in this area. We don't need to do an Old Testament, New Testament study, Old Covenant, New Covenant. It's all the same. It's the same message. It is our thought life. Here he goes again. Yes. I've got you in front of me for the first time in 8 months. It's soapbox time. It is our thought life that determines whether we receive life and peace or death and curses. It is our thought life that determines our emotions, not the other way around. It is our thought life that determines the quality of our life. That's a big statement, but friends, it's true. And if we can grasp that, it will change our lives. Now, I'm not picking on you deliberately, Reggie, but I'm looking around this room. And this place, I'm not going to say full, but the front part is full of old fogies. Older. Older. Not taking offence there, Pauline. Older. Older fogies compared to Reggie. Now see if myself or Pauline or Eileen, as one of these older fogies, gets a grasp of this. That will change our lives. But what's it going to do if you're a teenager? Yeah. Can you imagine? I'm just trying to imagine, you know, what I'm going to be able to do with this revelation in the however many years I've got left, and I'm 53, coming up to 54. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be great. But you can imagine what I could have done if I'd got that when I was 13, 14. How old are you, Reggie? Sorry to embarrass you. 15. Can you imagine getting this truth when you're 15? That your thought life can determine the quality of your life? That you can impact on the quality of your life just by the way you think? That's awesome. We all know Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As Pauline thinketh in her heart, so is she. As Reggie thinketh in her heart, so is she. I better do a he. As Stuart thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's powerful. You know, if you've been around the MDF for any time, you've heard this verse thousands of times. I tell you what, if you keep coming, you're going to hear it another thousand times. Because it's the truth. And guys, I'm not preaching at you. I should have a mirror right here. I'm preaching this to myself today. As a man think, as Vic thinketh in his heart, so is he. Vic's life, quality of life, walk with the Lord, blessings, curses, emotional highs, emotional lows, emotional stability, is affected by the way he thinketh. And the same is true for you guys. That's the truth. And I had a little bit of a revelation about thinketh as well. It's not just what we think as in A, B, C, and D. It's how we think. It's the mind attitude. It's the, you remember that picture? There's two guys in the buses. One guy's looking that way at a cliff. You know, this is horrendous. And one guy's looking this way at a beautiful vista out along the valley and everything. They were in exactly the same situation. It's how what they looked at, how they looked at it, how their mindset was that changed the quality of that bus journey. For us, our bus journey is our life. And we can change the quality of that. It's not just about what we think, but it's how we think. It's thinking positive or negative, thinking carnally or spiritually. It's about what we allow in, what we listen to, what we watch, what we take into our mind, what we focus on will determine what we keep our mind stayed upon. Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you a silly example, a seemingly trivial example that I think helped me this week. Might not be important to you, but it sure was important to me. You guys probably know I quite like my football. Yeah, I love my football. But I know it sometimes brings out the worst in me. Now, it's not important as it used to be. Gone are the days when Nunzi could come into the sitting room and I would be on my hands and knees with my nose touching the TV, screaming at Boris Johnson for having missed a sitter against Sweden. I'm not there. And I try to tell myself I'm not like that. Okay, I try to tell myself it's not important. I think sometimes I kid myself that it's not that important and not having that big an effect on me. Anyway, for those of you that know football, Scotland were playing a game on Thursday night. Most significant, most important game in 22 years. And I didn't watch it. Didn't listen to it. Didn't look at the scores. I actually went to bed on Thursday night, didn't know if we'd won or lost, didn't know if we'd qualified or been knocked out. The most significant night in Scotland's football for 22 years. Why did I not watch it, listen to it? Because I knew in the state of mind that I am at the moment, in my current life, it wouldn't have been good for me. So I didn't put it in here. Woke up in the morning absolutely delighted, obviously, because we'd won the penalties. But I couldn't put myself through that on Thursday night. Or I wouldn't put myself through it because I knew it wouldn't have been good for my thought life. Now, you might think, well, it's a bit silly, isn't it, Vic? It's causing you stress and anxiety and all that and emotional highs and whatever. Well, there are some things that you think are important I think are silly. No, we all have different buttons that get pushed. And for me, it's the Scottish international football team. Now, am I saying I'm not going to watch the game on the 18th of June in 2021 when Scotland are playing England at Wembley? Well, I don't know. It kind of depends how I am, depends how my thought life is. But I couldn't cope with it on Thursday night. So I took the conscious decision of not putting something in, and we can all do that. Now, I'm not saying, oh, look at Vic, how great he is. No, it should be, look at Vic, look at the mess he's in. Kind of not being able to watch a football match. But I knew it wasn't going to be good for me, for my thought life, for my level of peace. So I took the conscious decision of not to put it in. I said, oh, you're daft. Well, some of you guys may be concerned about COVID or concerned about this or whatever, and you're still watching the news and still reading papers and still talking about it. I think that's silly. But it's what we put in our head that causes our problems. Renting space in our mind with nonsense. Now, I get it. There are certain things that you just cannot ignore. I know that. But a football match or a TV programme or Facebook are all things that we could ignore. Have any of you heard the computer acronym GIGO about data management? GIGO. What does GIGO mean in computer terminology? Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage data into a computer, because see, it's not the computer that does things, it's people. The computer's not doing this not properly. It's the operators that are not working it properly. If you put rubbish in, you're going to get rubbish out.
Or somebody else has put rubbish in.
Or somebody else has... No. Rubbish in, rubbish out. It's that's computer terminology, but it's the same for you guys and your mind. Sorry, I keep saying you. I'm trying to say our. It's the same for us with regards to our minds. You know, what we put in can cause us problems. Back to football again. Just ask Nunzi the state I got into the last time Scotland played England. And it was like 15 minutes to go, and we're 1-0 down, and I was on this, I was state of depression. And then we scored 2 free kicks and we're winning. And it's like all my Christmases and birthdays have come at the same time, and I've won the lottery, and I don't know what else, but everything. And then England score, and it's a draw. The noise and the nonsense coming out of my room, Nunzi will testify that that wasn't good for me. What I was putting in was resulting in a lot of nonsense coming back out. It was not good for me. Emotions all over the place, highs and lows. Now, yeah, silly example, but it's a great picture to show how important it is what we put in, what our mind has stayed on, and what we put out. And I know for you guys it's not going to be football, but it could be... I don't want to speculate. But you've got things that... you guys have got things that push your buttons. And you go into a situation, you go away and you think, I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I knew I shouldn't have watched that. I knew I shouldn't have done that. We've all got it. What we let into our minds and what we stay upon. See, if you don't let it into your mind, you can't stay upon it. You get that? It's like Andrew talking about he didn't know about ladies of the night and things, and so he was just standing speaking to them. But he just didn't know. How, Mr. Naive or what, like, allegedly. But yeah, you know, back to all the analogies of old. You know, guys, if you weren't thinking about bananas all the time and focusing on bananas all the time and trying not to get bananas off the top shelf, you wouldn't be interested in bananas if you didn't know about them. Anybody new and listening has just been completely lost there. I'll explain that at a later date. What we let into our minds, that determines what we stay upon, and that determines the quality of our life in terms of the levels of peace. Now, who wants to live in peace? Both hands up for me. I want to live in peace. So I have a responsibility. If I want to be in peace, I have a responsibility as to what my mind is stayed upon. Therefore, I have a responsibility of what I put in. Can you see that? Determines the level of peace. Well, think back to Joshua. He saw the giants, he saw the walls, he saw the potential battles, he saw the potential fights, but his mind did not stay on that. Now, I say in this life, we're not going to be able to shut out everything completely. We're going to see things that we don't like, but don't stay on them. His mind was stayed on the Lord, what the Lord had said, what the Lord had promised, and Joshua had peace, and Joshua entered the promised land and got blessings, eventually. Along with Caleb. What happened to the other spies? They died. They perished. Why? What was their mind stayed upon? the giants, the walls. We're grasshoppers thinking about self. What's going to happen to us? How are we going to get crushed, the grasshoppers, when we come against the giants? We're going to lose. What's going to happen to me? Self, self, self. And they died in the wilderness. They fulfilled, Joshua and Caleb and the other spies, fulfilled Romans 8, 6 before it had been written. Although it had been written because God wrote the Bible before anything else. But they lived out Romans 8, 6. The 10 spies were carnally minded. Death. Joshua and Caleb were spiritually minded. What God had said, what God had promised. Life and peace. Their mind was stayed on him. And they had peace. Perfect peace. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's another thing, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the presence of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Lots in here about peace and about being at peace, but the big thing for me is it's talking about thought patterns. What to think on and what to think about. Talks about trust, it talks about prayer, talks about moderation. But the big thing in this section for me is about what you think on. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, worthy of praise. Think on these things, Paul says. Now, where do we get them? TV, Facebook, Fitbit matches, the world. Work, career, politics. Hallelujah. I was trying to avoid the P word, Sean, but there you go. Politics. I mean, has there ever been an era of this where there's no truth in politics? Oh, no, it's okay. Sorry, I keep forgetting there's the alternate truth. No, where do we get that? Where do we get all those things? We get them from the Word of God. We get them from the things of the Lord. They're spiritual. Not carnal. What our mind is stayed on is the key, and what we put in helps determine that. So how can we keep our mind stayed on God? Well, we've all got lots of different things. But if you've been in the Bible study on Thursday night with Daniel, he kind of gave a little bit of a list. It's not rocket science. Be in the Word, study the Word, pray in tongues, sing worship songs. I mean, If I'd given you, give me 10 things you need to do to stay upon the Lord, you would all get them. You know, it's not like you don't know. It's not like we don't know. It's pretty easy. And we've no excuses. None of us can say, oh, well, I have no resources. Rubbish! We've all got these little things. Sorry, maybe Eileen's got a computer. Maybe it's wrong for me to say we've all got smartphones. Is it wrong for me to say we've all got smartphones? But we've all got computers. We can all get into Elgin and get to a bookshop. We can all go to the library. Well, we can't all go to the library.
We've got Bibles and books.
Bible, you've got your Port Gordon bookshop to get Bibles. There's no lack of resources. If you sit there and say, I don't have resources, tell me, I'll give it to you. Aye, the resources, that is. We've no excuses. But what you do will depend on you. I read. Nunzi doesn't read. Well, not a lot. If Nunzi would prefer to listen and watch a teaching, I would prefer to read it. I like walking and talking and creation. Some of you might prefer solitude in an armchair. But it's worship. It's meditation. It's praying in tongues. It's being with the saints.
Amen.
Think about this and be honest. You know, is there anyone in here who has felt really bad or worse after a good session in the Word, after a good time of praying in tongues, after a good sing-along with Hillsong or Bethel, or a good time of worship and fellowship with saints? Has anybody felt really bad, really low, really down? Bad mental health after those kind of things? If you have, you need doing it right. Because the word says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. All these things are spiritually minded, it's life and peace. If you're with the saints, if you're in communion, if you're in church, if you're singing worship songs, if you're praying in tongues, if you're walking and talking with God, you've been spiritually minded. That can only lead to life and peace. Most of you were on communion on Saturday morning, weren't you? Were you all on? Oh no, Carol, just gone to bed.
I had a delight before. I was working.
Yeah. So there was a few of you on communion on Saturday morning. What was I going to be doing at the end of communion? What was my big event on the Saturday I was going to wait to do?
Asda.
Going shopping. Going shopping in Asda. I don't like shopping. It's a real pain. I mean, you have to shop to eat to live. That's why I shop. You have to do it to eat, and I like eating. But I don't enjoy shopping. But yesterday when I did it, it was a time of real peace, and I really felt at ease. Anybody tell me why it was so easy yesterday? Because for 3 hours before I set off in the car, I'd prepared a communion to deliver, which of course I'd forgot Michelle was going to be doing anyway. So I've got a communion ready for later on. So I'd been in the Word preparing for communion. I got some good teaching in communion. I had some time with the saints. I then started writing my message. And while I was writing my message, I was playing Bethel Peace, the album. So I had 3 hours of having my mind stayed and focused on the Lord. And I was still thinking on that as I drove away in the car. And I was at peace. Folks, this works. And I'm not telling you all about this because, oh, look how good Vic is. Just, it works. I'm telling you this basically because I'd forgotten about it recently. And I needed to remind myself about it. And teaching is a great reminder. And I had that revelation about Isaiah 26:3. I wasn't in peace. Why? Because my mind was not on him. Now, I haven't gone the full road yet and worked out what I'm nae trusting on. But that's going to be between me and the Lord. I'm probably nae going to preach on that next week. So I'm not saying this to say how good I am. But friends, it works. It really works. Let me finish. Instead of summing up, but reading the scriptures again, let the word speak for itself. Because this doesn't need any Greek Hebrew interpretations. The English is good enough. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Romans 8:6 says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Proverbs 23 verse 7, the first half of that verse says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Philippians 4 8 says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The word is really clear on this matter. Keep your mind on him. Keep your mind stayed on him at whatever age we are. But hey, the younger the better. Keep your mind on him. Stayed on him, and you will live in peace. And not just any peace, but perfect peace. And that to me, it's nae a bad definition of good or positive mental health. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. I enjoyed that, guys. It was good to be back in front of you again, although I preached longer than I normally do. I knew that would happen.